Personnel and negotiations, Michelle?
Yes, thank you. As everyone is aware, we've been working diligently over the past weeks and months on the superintendent search. That is continuing. The process is continuing. So that has taken up most of our time. With that being said, I'd like to move the following items. Items PN 221 through PN 254. I don't think there's anything on the agenda.
No, there isn't.
Do we have a second on that motion?
Second.
Second by Mark. Any questions or discussion on any of the action items, 221 to 254?
Yes. On action items 238 through 238, 39, 40, 41, I believe the dates are wrong. 238 as March 26, 2012 to January 31st, 2012. 239 has March 26, 2012 to February 6, 2012. 40 has March 1st, 2012 to February 15th, 2012. 241 is March 1st, 2012 to February 21st, 2012. Am I wrong, or am I reading this right, or are my eyes going bad, or what's...
There's to be some typos.
It looks like they're all inverted, sir.
Yeah, there's a... Yeah, no, I... Yeah. Which ties into action item 250. Nicole, one individual on there, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, 241 ties into 250 because that date is February 28th, 2012. So is that a role, you know, is that continual, you know what I'm saying? Is that person stopping on February 21st, 2012?
Oh, I'm sorry. If you look, we're revising the date, sir. It approves the revised date of hire. It was March 1st. We had to move it back to February 21st. So each one, it's the revised date. So last time this came before the board, it was a later date. However, due to the need to cover that position, as you see, disability and maternity leave, we had to move that date up. So to pay the people accurately, we have to have a board-approved start date.
Okay.
So that's why all of those are flip-flop.
And then...
Speaking of highlighters, should have highlighted revised for you.
And then 250, effective February 28th, that's the correct, which ties into the individual, same individual in 241. That's just a roll into the actual.
PN 250, sir?
Yeah, well, 241, it's a maternity leave replacement. Then 250, that same individual becomes a substitute teacher, teaching assistant.
On this agenda, 250 is... substitute teachers and teaching assistants.
Right, but 241, is that the same individual on there?
No, that's just a general approval for all those people who will be new to us.
But there appears to be a 1 week lag. Is that what you're getting at, Mark? February 21st?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
As the revised date of hire on action item 241. Yeah,
but isn't that the same? Isn't 241 the same individual?
Same individual.
Nicole, as 250?
Correct.
So
that... After she is done in that position,
after she's done
she
with
wants to be a substitute teacher for us.
All right, so she's going to be a maternity leave replacement music teacher, then she's going to go into being a substitute teacher teaching assistant.
Or teacher assistant, right.
Okay.
She is not approved by the board to be a substitute teacher, which is a call as needed position. She was only approved to do that one position for that music replacement. But after she is done, she would like to still be available to us as a substitute. So that's how it's tied together. We have to approve her as a substitute teacher. She is approved now as a medical leave replacement, but only for a contracted period. So for her to come and start working for us after the fact as a substitute teacher, the board still has to approve.
Got it.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't follow that.
Nice. Thank you very much. Okay.
Quick question on 225, 226. The change in our hourly rate is just the change in the guide.
That is correct, Mrs.
Okay.
Grant. When the guide was brought before the board, everything prior to that was tabled, and these were three items that did not get approved. All of these have started from the beginning of the year, but because of the guide, as you stated, that's exactly why they're here again.
Thank you.
Mr. Carroll, I have a question on the same action item.
The teacher's providing adaptive physical education to two students, and then rotating on the third student on 227. The prep period. Aren't the teachers being paid during the prep period already?
They, by contract, sir, they have a 30-minute lunch and a 45-minute preparatory period. So this is working during their contracted preparatory period.
So it's...
And this is a really, given the schedule, this is when the child is available.
But the prep period, like lunch is time off. That's your own time. Is the prep period time off, or is that professional planning time?
It is, by contract, a duty-free...
Duty-free.
Correct.
Okay.
Like the airport.
Okay, thank you.
Very quick question on 253. We're assuming a prorated stipend payment as a mentor on a replacement. A question on a macro sense, are stipend portions of the salaries paid prorated in any event, or are they lump summed normally at the beginning of the mentoring program?
The 550 that you see is the sum total for the mentoring for the year.
So the two parties then would
correct.
Share. Okay.
Based on the time, as you can see, when the split is done, we would be able to do the math for them. The difference between the September, actually August 29th start to February 13th.
Got it.
Split.
Any other questions? We have a roll call vote.
Ms. Kresty?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Prater?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Policy and curriculum, Kevin?
We have met as a committee this month. Our primary goal was to firm up recommendations from our Director of Policy and Curriculum and the Superintendent to the committee so that we could solicit feedback, vet the recommendations, and make a recommendation to Facilities and Finance so that they could incorporate the PNC budget into the general draft budget. If we can, I'd like to have some discussion around the recommendations on some of the purchases and curriculum. We had said at the last board meeting that we would do some work and provide some feedback to the board along with the recommendation. When we started the budgeting process in the fall, we did not have, we wanted a more robust recommendation from Bobby and Kevin on professional development and curriculum. We've been, between our ask testing and some feedback we've been getting as a board from parents and from board members, we were encouraging Mrs. Philippe to make a more detailed recommendation on some curriculum purchases and professional development, which she has done. Some of the areas that we've built into the recommendation to facilities and finance include curricular programs for pre-K, math program K to 5, funds for the curriculum chairs and for curriculum writing, additional budget for professional development, additional budget for language arts, and funding for resources for basic skills instruction for 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. From ask testing and just general feedback from parents and our own observations, we thought we needed to put more funding into curriculum purchases and professional development. And with the recommendation we're making to facilities and finance, we feel we're comfortable that the recommendation from Kevin and Bobby Philippe are in line with that request. Also, many of you have probably heard that we're moving to Common Core standards. In the fall, there's additional standards coming online, and some of these recommendations fall in line with that migration to the new Common Core standards. An example might be the K-5 math and Bobby, please feel free to tell me when I go off the track here. There's funds in the recommended budget for purchase of curriculum materials on a pilot basis, so that we can have a math curriculum that more closely aligns with the Common Core standards that we're moving toward. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about the curriculum or PD budget that we're recommending?
I think it's good. It's good to be there.
I'd like to know a little bit more about the K-5 math. We're talking about a new series?
That is correct, Mr. Dinkoff. When we look at our students currently in K-4 using everyday math, and fifth grade, they start to make the change. We're finding that the Common Core follows a more sequential instead of a spiral that we currently have in the way of how the content is brought or instructed to the children. So we are looking for things that would be more in line and a better resource for our teachers. And knowing that feedback from parents, everyday math is a hit or miss. So we're going to take the time with the help of the teachers, the curriculum writers and curriculum chairs to look at some resources that are out there and bring some people in. And this represents a placeholder for us into next year.
So we don't know what math program we'll have next year. We just know that it's not going to be everyday math. Is that what you're telling me?
That's a possibility based on input from teachers and administrators. It could be the updated version of everyday math. It could be a totally new series altogether.
And it would be implemented K through 5?
Yes.
So you would have kids going into fifth grade who have had everyday math for 5 years, kindergarten, first, second, third, and fourth grade. And as fifth graders, they would go into a new math program.
They do already right now. They go into a different program in fifth grade. It really is, when you look to roll this out, in my own experience with everyday math has been, you should roll it out K-2 and 3-5. Sometimes, or most districts, will just put it in K-5. And then try to, through supplemental work and supporting the instruction, help the teachers fill in any of those gaps as the students are brought through what is called a spiral curriculum.
Tell me a little bit more about professional development. Why such a big increase?
Well, a lot of the changes to our Common Core, we'll see a kind of a realignment. We've seen that already in social studies. Ancient history is being brought down and American history being brought up, so it's more sequential for our students. And in looking at some of the overarching standards like language arts literacy, 21st century learning and life skills, and technology, we want to make sure that we're supporting our teachers in the instruction. A big push you will see is the evaluation programs that are coming out, mandates by the state. We were given a reprieve that we do not need to pilot something next year. We can take time with an advisory committee to look at different items. We sent teachers out and administrators out today to go see some of the 4 of the 6 models that are coming out. And many of these things, when you tie it together, curriculum, evaluation of staff, all come back to professional development. So we want to make sure where we did not have a placeholder in the current budget, we do now.
And Jim, also on professional development, aside from what Kevin just mentioned, you can note that we had a very low budget for professional development in recent history, just based on financial restraints. It's been somewhat underfunded.
Well, I have no problem with the amount of money. I just wanted to know why it went up. You know, as far as I'm concerned, professional development is absolutely necessary. That's how good teachers become great teachers. Should be, anyway.
One other area I wanted to point out that I didn't previously is K-8 language arts. The recommendation is substantially for resource materials. Also, books for guided reading. It's teaching materials that we don't have currently that we feel are needed.
How much of an increase overall is this from what's currently in the budget?
Jim, do you mean from the 2011-2012 budget or from what we're proposing for 2012-2013?
We currently have budgeted $190,000?
Correct.
For next year.
For next year, plus an additional $290,000.
No, we currently have $480,000 budgeted.
Right. Okay. That's what's currently budgeted.
Right now.
And what was this current academic year? What was that number, Mr. Carroll?
I'll have to pull those lines together, but as Mr. Sturgis had said, many of the things for this current year were at zero, and many of the things were left to in-house professional learning communities and the like. Professional book clubs that our teachers were doing to drive the professional development in the buildings.
We had PD at zero, but in the past school year, for an example, one of the curriculum purchases we made was American Reading Foundation, which was $250,000. But that was not a budgeted line. That was paid for with school choice funds. So that's one of the things we recognize is we do have to make curriculum purchases. We just haven't, in my opinion, been budgeting for them adequately.
My question wasn't a criticism. I just wanted to compare and contrast, that's all.
So it's one of the things we were encouraging Ms. Philippe and Mr. Carroll to do is to budget for the curriculum purchases that we've been making. Mm-hmm. We also made, in the prior year, an additional American Reading Foundation purchase of $140,000. So we do have the need for these curriculum purchases. We just haven't necessarily been budgeting for them. And what we're trying to do here is to make sure that the budget that we're recommending to facilities and finance does have sufficient funds to start to make some of these curriculum purchases that we regularly need.
Well, I agree. I think it's a good idea.
We have, if there's no other questions on that recommendation, we have three action items. One of these action items I'm going to table, but I want to move it so that we can have a discussion about it, that being the school calendar. So I'm going to ask for these three to be moved, Jim.
Okay.
034, 035, 036.
Okay.
Second.
Go ahead, Kevin.
On 034, we have a draft school calendar, which the board members have, and I believe it was also made available to members of the public. This school year, we're getting out earlier than we have in years past, and we've been getting some feedback from parents expressing some concern with how soon the kids are getting out of school. It's a little earlier than people are used to. I know it's a little earlier than I'm used to. We have gotten some information about concerns about the possibility of regression for kids who have special education classification, as well as all of our other kids. So we just wanted to open this up for some discussion about the school calendar and see if anybody had any opinions about it before we re-up for another year.
I'd like to see the snow days put back in. The current year notwithstanding, of course, where they weren't particularly important. But I mean, I've received a number of comments from people in the public that the uncertainty about planning vacations is somewhat troublesome. Mm-hmm. All the three-day weekends, even the week-long spring break, are all in jeopardy of losing days if there's even just a couple snow days. So, and personally, I think it makes sense to build in, you know, four or five snow days, and if we have to, if we don't use them, shorten the year at the end of the year, but not to put people in the position where they make plans. And we all know what happens when people make the plans. I, not necessarily speaking of personal experience or anything, but when one makes those plans and the snow days get taken away, the kids just don't go to school because people aren't going to change their plans. And I'm not sure that's in the best interest of anybody. The kids end up having to miss a day of school. I'd rather see us build in some days so people can make plans ahead of time and know that they're not going to find out at the last minute that that day's no longer.
In the interest of keeping getting out maybe a little bit earlier and building in some snow days, could we go to the end of that week and end on June 14th? Because I think one of the original concerns why we did this was
match the high school,
to try to match up with the high school, because then families then are stuck on the other end of, like, when do I go for family vacation? Because
right.
I'm not able to mesh my family. So could we end on June 14th?
I think there's a concern by some parents that getting out as early as we get out, a lot of the programs that are run during the summer.
Right, summer camps, all
they're,
those
they're
start,
not, they
don't start until
yet.
Later.
Yeah, we did get that feedback as well. Like our rec program, I believe it normally starts the last week of June.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a day camp down the street, the Winnie Wald, and there's the Y, and all of those. They all start like on the 20th to the 21st.
Well, Work Family Connections, in working with our calendar, has created an opening for their program and actually adjusted their calendar to suit ours. So if anyone is looking, that's one that's right here in our district.
I've also taken the time to look over some of our neighboring districts' school calendars, and the majority of them do not get out this early, which is why those camps don't start up until that last week in June.
Right.
And I think that we do ourselves and our children, it's certainly a disservice, as Kevin mentioned. We do have a concern about regression because you're adding another 3 weeks between the time school ends and the time school begins. Even the high school doesn't go through that long of a break because they start a week earlier.
Yep.
So,
what are you suggesting, Kevin?
I would like to get public feedback on the date because we're getting informal feedback via emails and in person, and people have opinions about it.
We could do another survey.
Yep, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Those have been very popular lately.
Very popular.
I kind of would like to do a survey. I mean, the people we're surveying, it's the parents, and that tool is very good for surveying parents
right.
because of the way
right.
we send it out. That's the population we're interested in getting feedback from.
So let's do that.
If you want to give me a call, we can. It's easy. It's easy.
How much longer do we have that program?
I just upped us for another month, $19.
Who gave you permission to do that?
The board president.
Okay.
As just as part of drafting that survey, Mrs. Grant, I know one of the things that I've seen is parents wouldn't want to know how much time they would be given to know that the change has been made one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that two districts have moved to, in our ascending district or area from North Hunter and Voorhees, have moved to match day for day the North Hunter and Voorhees calendar, they gave a year's notice to the parents that they were making that change. So I think that should be one of the questions, because I've received emails and phone calls as well. And parents said, if you do make that change, could you at least give us enough notice?
Yeah, if the whole board wants to take a few days to think about some questions they'd like on the survey, you know, send them to me in an email. We can easily incorporate that in the survey and have it out early next week. It's really very simple to do. And then we just have to decide how long we want it out there for. You know, 3 weeks, if that's 4 weeks.
I think we should try to get it so that we can have the next calendar by the next board meeting.
Yeah, sure.
Which is March 26th.
So how about we try to start it up mid-next week, get feedback from the board before, let's say, Monday. We can get the survey up and running, get it out for 3 weeks. It'll give us time to tabulate the data and have it ready for the next board meeting.
Sounds good.
Is that good?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So are we tabling? You're recommending that we table item
034.
034?
Yes.
Are we doing that the proper way?
Yeah, we'll hold it and have it on the next agenda.
Okay. And Maria, you'll put something together and with input from the board on the survey?
Yep.
Okay. So we're tabling 034 and we're voting on 035 and 036. Is there any additional discussion on either of those two items?
There's a typo on 035. I think the PMG is supposed to be grade 2. Both Ms. Swinar's class and Mr. V's class.
I'm sorry, what was that? Grace Sullivan?
Mr. V's class and Ms. Swinar's class are grade twos. I don't think that matters very much, but just in case.
In 035.
I'm sorry, we can't understand what you're saying.
In 035?
Yes.
If you look at Mr. Verderamo's class, he's grade two.
Oh, is that grade two?
And then Ms. Swinar, the bottom of the list there, is also a grade two. I have a quick question about bylaw 168. I'm curious as to why we're moving to eliminate audio of our meetings and how that came about.
It's a recommendation from our policy service. Again, it is only a first reading. The board can choose to make any changes they want prior to a second reading.
I'd like to suggest we just leave our bylaw the way it is and allow the public to have our written minutes, our written agenda, as well as our audio available almost in perpetuity. I'll use them to go back and refresh what we right. talked about and, you know, get an understanding of why perhaps we came to an agreement. I see no benefit for us to remove it, the ability to have the audio in-house forever.
It's a step backwards, quite frankly.
Yep.
We also have discussed among this board that as we craft our minutes, it gets very difficult to interpret the intent of what people said, and we've repeatedly said, well, if people really want to know the exchange of information, they can go back and listen to the audio. So we don't want to get rid of that.
When would these typically come up for a second reading, Mr. Carroll, at the next board meeting?
They can be scheduled for that.
Can I ask a procedural question? If there are suggestions for language changes, does it go back to committee?
Correct. We would postpone the second reading if need be, if they cannot meet at the next committee meeting, which is the first.
So at our next committee meeting, I could make some suggestions?
What's the policy?
Absolutely. You can send me those ahead of time, and I can... Or you can send it to the whole committee.
Okay.
Wow. Actually, we talked about this in, I think it was June, about the process for policy revisions, about the first reading and the second reading. But just as a refresher, if anybody has concerns about a policy and they're recommending a change in the language, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, they should email you and the committee?
Yes.
And then when the committee...
But actually, you and I, so that there's not a quorum okay. in that email.
So if you have a concern or a suggested language change, you should email it to the chairman of the Policy and Curriculum Committee okay. and the superintendent. And then when the committee meets, it could review and discuss the recommended changes.
Okay.
That would be incorporated into the second reading.
Okay.
Is on 036, you know, what if you don't like the bylaw, but you like everything else? I mean, could you
say it again, Mark?
On 036, what if you don't say you don't want the bylaw, but you everything else you're fine with? Can you piecemeal that, or you know, when you vote on that, is there a procedure to say, you know, hypothetically, yes to 036, but no on the bylaw? You know, is there a way to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just indicate that when it comes to the
okay.
vote.
I've never mm-hmm. had that particular.
We've done that before.
We have?
Yeah.
I must have been daydreaming.
Kevin, what's your feeling as chair of the committee?
With regard to that particular
yeah.
question?
No. In regard to 0168, the recording board minutes.
I kind of agree with Maria. I mean, I want to read it again. I also want to see what the logic was of the policy service for the recommendation. But I'm going to study it more between now and the committee meeting. But generally, you know, I think it's a good thing to have the recorded minutes available.
The way it's set up, it's options that can be applied, and the one option says permanently preserved as a governmental record in accordance with the Open Public Records Act. So it doesn't, you can, as by law, hold them for a certain amount of time and then destroy them, or hold them forever. It's just a matter of choice. So I was curious as to why the board, I just left it open for the board to look at what all the options are. As you can see, the bolding and the lined out are the ones that have to be changed by law, but the options in there tell you how long you can retain them if you'd like. And it, as you can see, it must be at least 45 days. Or another option, permanently preserved as a governmental record in accordance with the Open Public Records Act, which is what we currently do.
So the recommendation isn't to terminate preservation of the recorded?
No, actually, in the first reading, as I'm hearing tonight from board members, they definitely want to keep these forever, and that is an option under the law.
Okay.
So there's no need to table. It's just a matter of getting input as we finalize this draft for a second reading, which becomes approved. And I'll make a note, obviously all the board members are in agreement, I hear, and I agree as well, we have the capacity to hold on to these forever, we would just archive them. I'll talk to the tech department as how we would actually already have a system of being able to archive them by year so people can go back if need be, but they'll always be available on the web.
Thank you.
So if that, to answer your question, Mr. Fredo, or hopefully to give you some direction, this is just a draft needing input from the committee as well as the rest of the board, and that's why we have a first reading.
Okay, so if I'm so come the second reading, if I'm not comfortable, then I could go the way I hypothetically spoke.
I hear you loud and clear. You believe we should have this indicated that it's permanently preserved, and I'm in agreement.
Yes. Okay.
Have a roll call.
Voting on items 035 and 036. Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
I'm sorry, we're tabling 34 and
34
35
is tabled,
and 36.
And we're voting on 35 and 36.
Thank you. Yes.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Mr. Sorry. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkler?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Are we on communication?
Yes, we are.
Do we need more?
We might have some extras.
I'm sorry.
Yep, we got it. I think we got some extras.
My printer only put out as much as it could this today.
More?
Yep.
Same thing? Those are extras, yeah.
There's more coming.
Oh, here. Even I took two. I liked it so much.
Here, Michelle.
Oh, wait, I didn't want to know.
Okay, the Board of Education wanted to get as much feedback from the members of the community as possible regarding the new legislation from Governor Christie, which allowed school districts in New Jersey to move their April school board and budget elections to the general election in November. And the board had decided that we were going to have a special meeting to get public input. In addition, we also agreed to do a public survey as well. So what we did is we had the public meeting on the 13th of February. We also created an online survey. In that survey, we had an introductory paragraph which gave a very high level of what the survey was about. And a very high level, if then, that set of statements. Then we asked four questions. Four questions were, describe your role in the Clinton Township community. So are you a current parent with a child in the district? Are you a parent that doesn't have a child in the district anymore, a community member with no children in the district, or a business owner in the district? The second question was, do you support moving the school elections from April to November's general election? The third question was, do you believe what do you believe are the pros of moving the school election from April to November? And then the final question was, what do you believe are the cons of moving the school election from April to November? The survey opened on the 8th of February and closed at 5:30 on the 13th of February. Community members were made aware of the availability of this survey through the following mechanisms. There were press releases sent out to NJ.com, as well as the Herndon Democrat. Two separate articles were published on NJ.com with active links to our survey, so people can go right from NJ.com to the survey, and I want to thank them for that opportunity. It was published on the Clinton Township website, which then triggered an email to all the folks that they have addresses to in Clinton Township. Parents were notified through a Mass District email, and we recognize that if we had more time to do this, we would have also put it in the Clinton Township newsletter. But because their deadlines are so far in advance, it was impossible for us to get it in there. We also provided a summary document to community members that included links to the specific law itself, Q&As from New Jersey school boards, links to the New Jersey legislative site, and the New Jersey Department Community Affairs, all providing information on this new law. As I mentioned in the last meeting, there were 264 people who participated in the survey. 194 people said yes, they were in favor of moving the election from April to November. 61 said they were not in favor, and 9 people were indifferent about whether we moved it or did not move it. The documentation, I won't go through every single number here, but the document that I provided to you gives you the demographic breakdown that we gathered from all the respondents, whether they had children in the district or not, or a business owner. We also, I gave the board, and I will give this long, hefty, raw document of the raw data will be available to staff members as well as members of the community of the raw data of the survey. Each of the board members have that now. And what the communications group did was we went through each and every individual answer and we color-coded all the like answers. So, for example, what do you believe are the cons to moving the school election from April to November? So we were able, if you voted yes to supporting to move it to April, to November, we color-coded all the people who said none, there are no cons. We then went to the next group, which was there's our loss or ability to vote in the budget. So what you have in front of you is, what do you believe are the pros of moving the school election from April to November? The people who said we support moving it to November, the largest response in the comment section was it would increase voter turnout, and 93 people said that as a comment. I will also tell you that people provided multiple comments, so these numbers will not add up to 264, because some people may have just provided one response to that question. Some people wrote a brilliant soliloquy, and there were a lot of comments that were taken out of that. The second highest common response was save money at 84. The third was convenience for voters that didn't go to the polls just one time per year to vote. And the fourth one was limit increase of budget over 2%. So those were comments relative to the 2% cap, and those were 11 folks who responded there. Same question about the pros of moving the election from April to November. For those people who responded they were not in favor of it, they've said that there were no pros, and there were 19 people that said no pros. 18 people said that there was an opportunity to save money, and 12 people said there increase in voter turnout. And what we did as far as the folks that voted or answered indifferent as to move the election from April to November, we just listed all of their comments because there were no multiples responses that were the same there, so we just listed those. The next question was, what do you believe are the cons of moving the school election from April to November? For those folks who voted yes to move it from April to November, the largest common response was none at 82. The second was lost right to vote on the budget, and that was 16. Increased voter turnout was received two responses, and school budget not in the forefront of voters' minds were two as well. For those who voted that they were not in favor of moving the budget to November, the largest common response to those folks was the loss of right to vote, their right to vote, and that was 35. And their second most common was a lack of focus on school elections, which was 6. So that's a summary of the survey in and of itself. We will tomorrow be sending out a letter to parents, staff members, community members, through all of our sources we've done before, press releases and Tuesday tidings, et cetera, where we will make this data, the summary data, available to everyone. In addition, if anybody has any extra time and they'd like to look through all the color highlighting here that the communications group worked on, this will be available as well.
Maria, can I add one thing?
Yep.
We did go through these comments and try to highlight what we thought people were saying. In any case where we weren't exactly sure what the comment meant, we chose not to include that count simply because we didn't want to misrepresent what the voters might be saying. So if you look through there and say, that absolutely says nothing or one thing or another, we did try to err on the side of making sure we knew what people said. But any questions that we had amongst ourselves did not skew the results of the survey substantially in one direction or another.
Any questions?
Yeah, can I have a comment? And I got to say what I got to say because I just have to. And I've always complimented in the past the Communications Committee as doing a great job, and you're on top of the game. But I find it just a little troublesome that this was not provided that night. Like any good survey results, you want totality that night. And to get these 2 weeks later, it's really a moot point. I mean, yes, I'm going to look at them, but it's 2 weeks later. You know, it should have been that night. And I know we're very busy, you're very busy, but when we had the super survey, you know, you gave a nice PowerPoint and you were able to have the final results that night.
We didn't have it that night, Mark. We had it 3 to 4 weeks later.
Okay, but I just, you know, to give this 2 weeks later, it just, you know, I think it put us in a bad spot.
I disagree,
Let me just finish, and I hope in the future that when we do surveys, that we bring conclusion to them that night with final results. I think it's in the best interest of everybody, our community, and everything, that we say, here's the survey results, here's the final results. Now let's talk about it amongst, you know.
We had the final results reported. We knew that 264 people had responded. We knew how many yeses, how many noes, and indifferent.
Right, but you said,
and that was, just a minute, please. And that was as of 5:30 when the survey closed. So the information that we certainly needed to make a decision for those of us who use this survey to make a decision was available that night. Was it typed out? No. Would I have liked to have? Yes.
A handout of something we could have had, that's all.
I gave you the results. I mean, it's impossible when you're balancing everything that we're all balancing.
No, I know, and I've complimented your committee in the past. You guys do a great job. I'm just saying, you know, even you said, I don't have the final results yet. And
What I said was I did not have the demographic breakdown past 3 o'clock, but what I did have for everybody, and I made it very clear, was that I had the total number of people who responded, yeses, noes, and indifference.
Right.
The amount of work it took for this group
to go through all this raw data and label everything took 2 weeks.
Okay.
This is not something that we could have done between 5:30 and 7:30, had it tabulated and sent out to everybody.
So maybe even a day or two later would have been nice. I understand. I understand your business. I just wanted to make my feelings known that I thought 2 weeks later is it's a moot point because it's done and over.
I'm, you know, I have to defend the communications group as
well. No, you guys
do
a great job. I just
say that between the superintendent search and everything else that we're working on.
No, I know you're very busy, and I've complimented you in the past. I said you've worked hard, and I just felt I had to say this because, you know, no disrespect. Thank you.
As board president, I'd like to thank all the members of the communications committee, Rachel, Michelle, Maria, and myself, but especially Maria Grant. This took an awful lot of time and a lot of work. And as far as I know, we're the only district that had both a survey to the members of the community and an open meeting where we invited parents and community members to come in and state their view on whether or not the board should vote to move the election from April to November. I don't know of any other district in Hunterdon County or even in the state of New Jersey that did both a survey and an open meeting. So thank you for the time and the effort, all the members of the committee, but especially Maria. Thank you. Any other comments or questions for Maria or the members of the committee? Anything else on the communications committee, Maria?
I won't even bore you with everything we've written and sent out. You guys know we've sent it out to you, so you know that's about it for now.
Okay. We're at old business. Is there any old business that needs to be brought up before the board? Any new business?
We have a question. Do we qualify for Race to the Top? Is that something that affects us or not?
I had sent out the memo when I got it to the board asking for feedback. I'd given you my input where we were as far as Race to the Top 1, which I advised the board to be a part of. We did. The state did not get it. Race to the Top 2, I advised the board once again to be a part of that. They did not get that. But Race to the Top 3, I advised the board not to be a part of because some of the information that I'm getting, which is tied to the evaluation process from districts who are piloting right now, one instance, a district similar in our size had budgeted $60,000. They're up to $990,000. They projected it's going to cost them $300,000. And they're not getting any money from the state except for that original $60,000. We were just getting in our NCLB just over $1,000. We were getting almost $2,000 in our NCLB piece of that. But with the added mandated provisions, we are able to go our own way and not be tied by some of the mandates of people with the Race to the Top.
Okay.
So given that all of these would be a very big footholds in our budget, I think we could meet the mandates without having to jump through the extra hoops of Race to the Top 3 for a measly $2,000.
If it was on the grant, you'd pick it up, though. Thanks.
One more question, Ms. Carroll.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about there was a pilot. Do we have to submit a plan to conduct a pilot for teacher evaluation that was extended?
Correct. What they were looking to do was there was districts were piloting this year, and then next year, as of December of 2011, the last word was districts would have to either pilot across the district or pick one school to pilot. Ms. Philippe and I were putting together an advisory committee to start discussing that with teachers and get them exposed to some of the models that are out there. Luckily, when we came back in January, they said, we're gonna give you a stay of 1 year. Your advisory committees have to start in September. We started ours in January. So what we'd like to do is continue the work we've already been doing, exposing the staff and the administrators to the different models that are being put forth so we can make a pretty good go at it this summer and get the board involved at that time.
And what's the process? Are you evaluating vendor
packages or software?
It's interesting, Mr. Sturgis. It's twofold. There are certain models in the way of philosophy or the way that they're actually implemented that have nothing to do with the electronic piece. You do not have to buy the electronic piece. You just have to choose which philosophy or strategy you're going
to
use.
Conform.
Many times that could be free. It's an open source too, particularly Danielson and Marzano. It's free material, and we use the Danielson model already. However, the state is mandating electronic component that you will track, which most likely will be tied to NJ Smart. So as they're tracking students, they're going to be tracking teachers, which is tied to the evaluation system. So you can come up with your own system, like we did for Oscar, or we can buy into a system. So we're trying to balance the two. Luckily, the one we use now, Danielson, and the one that we also are interested in, Marzano, seem to have flexibility in different electronic components, and that's one of the pieces that we're trying to look at as we're looking at the models. So it's twofold. You have to pick a model of strategies, train your administrative evaluators to a certain level, and show the documentation that you did that, as well as train your teachers in what they're being evaluated on, and then have an electronic component that is going to track that data. And 2 years ago, we had to start posting to our website an overall statement of what evaluation form we use and what number of teachers are seen as effective given the rubric that the state is giving us. That will be changing given this new mandate. But again, we have one more year to really look at that.
Thank you.
Any other new business needs to be brought up before the board? We'll have our third recognition of the public. If anybody would like to address the board, please state your name and limit your comments, questions, or concerns to 3 minutes.
I'm Janine Arrico, 2 Windsor Court. First of all, is the ad hoc committee for school choice going to meet again soon?
As one of the co-chairs, we're not planning on meeting anytime soon at this point, since the intent of trying to accelerate things was to meet the deadlines for the round of students coming in this fall. So we're going to kind of step back a little bit and make sure that we get all of our ducks in a row and determine what questions we want to ask and get answered and start to collect that information up through the spring and the summer. The timing right now, I haven't put any thought further on that since we've been focusing on the superintendent search and things like that. We do want to take into consideration when and what we would want to have in place or not have in place prior to that date.
Okay, I just don't want it to fall in the wayside. What's the price, the cost of benefits for a teacher for the district? Can you tell me that, or?
It's dependent on the plan. So a single, Mr. Del Sordi, do you know that?
I don't have all the figures. I think a single is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $8,000 to $9,000.
That's all?
Yes, that would be a single plan.
Okay.
Family plan is closer to $21,000, and then okay. Parent-child is somewhere in between.
I bring it up because I sent some of you an email about the gym teacher, the specials teacher situation here at the middle school that I think is really inefficient. It's not like the way Round Valley does it where for example, a specials teacher does 6 periods there. Here they do 4. So I'm shocked that you would have Mr. Helmstetter getting paid to do, you know, extra teaching when there's surely time in the schedule for that, especially.
If I can ask you not to name the actual staff.
Sorry.
But just so you know, the team model that is followed allows for the teachers to meet in planning period time outside of their preparatory time. And then those other unified teachers who do not have a planning period time are utilized during the lunch and stars during the middle of the day. So they're actually engaging with children 6 periods a day. It's how we leverage that stars time to really build an enrichment period for our students. But they are working those 6 periods and they are following the contract to get their preparatory period and their lunch period at the end of the day.
Okay, I did a little calculation. about the cost of that, which I've emailed some of you. I can fine-tune it now that I have the benefits costs. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you.
But the ad hoc committee is still a lot. I mean, it's still
It's definitely still okay. Active. We kind of moved it onto the back burner since we had other time-pressing issues. We'll start to bring that back up later in the spring and review what information we want to collect and kind of map out a process of where we want to go between now and the fall when we determine really the paths for the program.
Just note that I think that application is June.
I thought it was October. I'll double check.
What?
Did you say April? I thought it was April.
You can start, yes, in over the summer. I don't know if it's June or July. It might be July that you start telling the state what your projected seats are. And then you can start advertising in August. But if the board is looking to withdraw from the program for 2013-14, they would have to pass a resolution before April 30th of this year.
So within the next two meetings.
If we didn't withdraw from the program, but we determined that we had zero seats available, is that legal?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that evaluation for, do you want to expand the program? The target date should be end of June.
Yeah, because we that would impact our advertising, so I guess we need to move that, accelerate that a little. Thank you.
Being in more committees, with the Patrick McGarren Environmental Committee, is that still a need for them, with the recent heels of what the test results, do they still need to?
That was something that they would be privy to the information as it comes out. We are still waiting for that final report. And with the contact that Mrs. Grant has made with the DEP, we're going to try to tie that all together. So we have a presentation to staff and a presentation to parents with all those people, Brinkerhoff, as well as hopefully the gentleman from the DEP who can really literally wrote the book on radon.
So the committee's kept in the loop, the ad hoc committee's kept.
Correct.
Good. All right. Thank you.
But not we don't have the report, so we can't make it public.
Right. Okay.
Anything else on the new business? Well, we had our second recognition of the book. We will be going into executive session. I don't anticipate us having to spend more than about a half hour, maybe not even that. And there'll be no public action taken after executive session. So can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved by Kevin.
Second.
Malloy. Seconded by Rachel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we'll be meeting in the conference room.